Okay, good evening, everyone. And very exciting to be meeting Lucia and Tanya. Starting from the very beginning, so I see that the copy we have in front of you is the beginning of Perek Aleph. But actually, when we begin learning Tanya, we begin a little earlier. They didn't make the copy, so I'll read it to you. But the Sharblat, which is the title page of Tanya, was also written by the Alter Rebbe.
Sharblat, the title page, therein the Alter Rebbe lays out his objectives in Tanya. What is the Sefer all about? I'm new here. I haven't been here before, so I don't know how many of you have learned Chassidus before, how many of you learned Tanya before, whether other Inyanim and Chassidus. But Tanya is very, very different than any other Sefer, definitely in Chassidus Chabad. It's definitely unique within Chassidus Chabad. It's possible that there are other Chassidus Sfarim that are similar in the sense that we're going to talk about right now. But Kapanim, at least in Chassidus Chabad, it's unique. In that, in other Sfarim and Chassidus, when you open them up, it's difficult to say random, but you're opening up a Maimer, you're opening up a Sefer, and you're going to learn about an Inyan. Today you're going to learn about Avas Hashem. And that's going to be one discourse. You're going to learn one Maimer about Avas Hashem. And next time you maybe learn something about Avedas HaTfila. Next time you learn something about the Malachim. And next time you learn something about the way that the Yisurusa de la Tata and Yisurusa de la Eila work. But they're in Yonim, one after another, and if you learn enough Chassidus, you amass a large knowledge and a broad knowledge in Inyanim and Chassidus. Tanya, on the other hand, isn't a random collection of Inyanim and Chassidus, but rather Tanya is a very, very structured Sefer. The 53 chapters, the 53 Prakim of Tanya are very, very structured. From Perek Aleph through Perek Nun Gimel, it's taking you on a journey, and there's a stated objective to this journey. We're taking you from point A to point B. And what is that point A to point B? What is the goal of Tanya? So the Alter Rebbe begins, he says, Sefer Likutei Amarim. That's the official name of the Sefer, is Likutei Amarim, which means a collection of writings, which shows on the humility of the author. It's a very humble way of describing your book. It's a collection of sayings. In other words, I'm merely a compiler. I didn't make any chidushim. I'm not coming up with anything new over here. Rather, I'm compiling and collecting a bunch of different sayings which I found. Chelek Rishim, Hanikra B'Shem Sefer Shel Beinanim, and this Sefer is called the Book of Beinanim. What is a Beinani? We'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem soon in this lesson. But this Sefer, and obviously the name is very important, Sefer Shel Beinanim, this is describing who this Sefer is intended for. It's intended for Beinanim. We'll soon have to see whether we fit that description or not. Milukat mipi sfarim pi sefrim. So the Alter Rebbe says that which I write is collected from various sfarim and various sefrim, which by chassidim we take that to mean there were certain people who they did not write sfarim, but they left teachings that were afterwards written, such as the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezid Shemagid. They themselves did not author any sfarim. Kedoshi Elyon Nishmasim Eidim, holy people. Miyusad, and this entire Sefer is based al pasuk ki karev eilecha hadavar miyoid beficha vavavcha lasayisay. The entire Tanya is here to explain one pasuk. The 53 prakim of Tanya are all an elaboration of one pasuk, and that is the pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, where Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Yidden and says, Ki ha-mitzvah azois. Actually, this is a little beforehand. Moshe Rabbeinu says, this mitzvah that I'm commanding you, this is the day that Moshe passes away. And he turns to them and says, this mitzvah that I'm commanding you, which b'chlalos is a reference to kol ha-teiru kula, lay nefleisi b'mchav, lay rechoy kohi. Don't think that it's so difficult. Don't think that it's impossible. To the contrary, ki karev eilecha hadavar miyoid. The word karev is difficult to translate into English. It's the closest word to translate would be it's accessible. Kikar ve'elecha. It is very accessible. It is very practical for you to do this, to follow the Torah mitzvahs. Beficha uvelvavcha lasaisa. It's possible and accessible for you to do the mitzvahs. Beficha, those mitzvahs that require your mouth. Uvelvavcha, those mitzvahs that require your heart. And lasaisa, those mitzvahs that require action. And the entire goal of Tanya is levayir heitev, to explain well. Eichu karev mioid. How is this correct? How is this true? After all, to most of us, it would seem that this pasuk is perhaps ignoring reality. We know that we have 613 mitzvahs deraisa, and then how many more thousands, tens of thousands of mitzvahs derabanan, and to say that for us to live 24/7, 365 days a year, for us to live and to be doing always what the Eibishter wants in machshava and in dibur and in maisa and thought, speech, and action, that would seem as demanding of us to be tzaddikim, which we all know. I don't know how many of us over here would say that is karev, that is something which is easy or accessible or practical for us to do. So Alter Rebbe says this sefer is going to give us the answer to this question. How can we say that Torah mitzvahs is something which is practical and accessible to every yid in its entirety? And we'll explain it b'derech arucha u'ketzara be'ezras Hashem yizbarach. The Alter Rebbe says, I'm going to give you two paths. I'm going to give you a longer way or a shorter way, or perhaps one path which is longer and shorter, without getting into what that means exactly. It's borrowing from a Maimer Chazal, from a story. But that's what Tanya is devoted to. Tanya is devoted to, we look at Yiddishkeit and we look at Torah mitzvahs very often, and we say that it's mission impossible. I could do some of it all the time, I could do all of it some of the time, but to do all of it all the time, and not only when people are looking, but also when people aren't looking, and also not only in action, but also in speech, which to be guarded with their speech we know is very difficult. And machshava, you're telling me that also when that which goes on in my heart and which my mind, that also I could constantly be in control of that and do it to Eibishter once, is that karev? Yes, it is. And that's what Tanya is devoted to teaching us. 53 prakim, it's going to be a journey at the end of which we will have the medication, we will have the tools necessary that will allow us to do Torah and mitzvahs, and to be that Torah and mitzvahs should be karev elecha. It'll be knowledge. After we have the knowledge, then it's up to us whether we want to implement that knowledge in our lives, because the fact that we know what to do doesn't always make it easier, but at the very least, by the time we finish, we will have the answers how it's possible to make that all of Torah mitzvah should be karev elecha, should be something which is accessible. And Tanya talks to the everyday person. Talks to the Beinoni, which we're going to get to in a moment, but before we get there, we're talking about the fact that Tanya is a very structured sefer. The Rebbe writes that he heard from the Friedrich Rebbe the story that the Alter Rebbe was once sitting in his room deep in thought, and his brother, his name was Rabbi Yehuda Leib, known as the Maharil. So he walks into the room and he sees his brother, the Alter Rebbe, deep in thought. The Maharil was a very big Talmud Chacham on his own. He wrote many tshuvas compiled in a sefer called She'eris Yehuda. And he asks his brother, my dear brother, what are you thinking about? And the Alter Rebbe answered, it's already 6 weeks. I'm sitting here and I'm writing. He was busy writing Tanya at that time. And he says, I'm 6 weeks and I'm considering there's a vav in a word, whether or not to include it or not. A vav is a ois hachibur in Hebrew. A vav means when you say and. So I can say, go to the store and get potatoes, tomatoes, and mushrooms. Or I can say, get potatoes and tomatoes and mushrooms. That would be the and. The missing, whether to include that and or not, to include that vav or not. Alter Rebbe says he was thinking 6 weeks about whether or not to include that vav. And then Alter Rebbe said, which is a really mind-blowing statement, he says that for every Ois HaChibur and Sefer HaTanya, every time I have one of these letters, I rethink the entire structure of the Sefer to see whether or not it fits or not. which means that the sefer is so structured that every single detail of the sefer is made sure that it fits, and it fits in it in its entirety. And as Alter Rebbe says, the sefer is geared for the Beinoni. What is the Beinoni? If anyone here has studied Tanya before, you're probably a little familiar with this a little. And this is a little of a spoiler alert, because we're going to talk today about some things that the Alter Rebbe is only going to explain in the later Parakim in Tanya, but we're going to do that now because it'll give us a little of understanding of where we're heading to and what is the goal of the sefer. One of the major theses of Tanya is that there are two different types of human beings in this world, two different types of Yidden. And their lives are completely different one from another. Whereas everyone is born the same, we're all born with a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara, or in the terminology of Tanya, a Nefesh Elokis and a Nefesh Bahamas, and as we move on, we'll discuss the difference between a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara. Loosely, they're associated, but not completely. And all of us struggle. There are two sides of us. We all know this, that there are two sides to us. There's one side of us that wants to do what's right, that wants to listen to the Eibishter, and wants to have a relationship with the Eibishter, and wants to do Torah and mitzvahs. And then there's another side to us, and life is a struggle. There are certain people who have special neshamas. It's a gift from the Eibishter. And because they have these special neshamas, they have the ability to transcend the struggle. Meaning, when they start off like everyone else, and they also struggle. But they struggle and they struggle and they battle and battle the Yetzer Hara to the point that they defeat the Yetzer Hara. And after that point, they don't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. They're running on one battery pack instead of two. So these are people who are completely suffused with a love for Hashem and a fear of Hashem, awe and reverence of Hashem. Their heart is a burning coal of desire to do mitzvahs and connect to the Eibishter and to have Avas Yisrael. They love every other Yid. And it's not a struggle by them. That is the definition of a tzaddik. Meaning the Alter Rebbe says a tzaddik, it's not only the way he behaves. The truest definition of a tzaddik is not someone who behaves the way he's supposed to. The truest definition of a tzaddik is a person who lives in an entirely different realm, an entirely different place. A place of Kedusha, a person who cannot relate to the struggles that the average person goes through. That is one type of person. Rare and far in between. Yeah, few and far in between. Yes.
Saying, "En tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yehta." They have sentences like this, right? So every tzaddik, he has yetzer hara, he doesn't have, but he's making a sin.
How can you sin if you don't have yetzer hara?
That's what he's asking.
Huh?
That's what he's asking. This is my question.
Right.
It said, "En tzaddik ba'aretz asher lo yehta."
Okay.
So how we can not be potter?
So first of all, again,
your last statement was that he's so knocky and so kodesh that he's running on one battery, that he has no shaykes the outside.
Correct.
No shaykes means that he won't commit it, or no sensitivity to other people who are deep in trouble.
The tzaddik can, mitzad avos Yisrael, the tzaddik can be sensitive to other people. But he himself personally can't relate to that struggle that we all have. No. Okay, no. So first of all, I want to make it clear. This is stuff which we're going to be learning over the coming Prakim. Everything that the Alter Rebbe says, he's miyasid on Amari Chazal and on Gemaras. And he talks in Perek Aleph, we'll learn about what the definition of a tzaddik is. And everything is based on Gemaras and everything. So the question is a great question. What does the Pasuk mean that... Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov lo yehta. So it's a good question, but then we have to reconcile that not so much with Tanya, but more with the Mamari Chazal, which the Alter Rebbe is going to bring down. and we'll do that as we go along. The kitzer, the answer to your question is the word yechta can have many connotations, and it doesn't necessarily mean a sin in its most practical sense. The word chet can also mean a chasarin, can mean an imperfection, and a tzaddik can also have an imperfection. And the imperfection can be for various reasons. Maybe he didn't exert himself enough in Avodah. I mean, we have greater than that. Malachim sin. Matat was punished for doing something wrong. How can a malach has a yitzhara? How can a malach do something wrong? A malach is so bottled to the Eibishter that when the Eibishter speaks through a malach, it says that he says, Vayemer Hashem. Malach is called, when he's speaking, it's as if the Eibishter is speaking. We have it in the... We have it in this week's parsha, right? That the Malach calls and the Hashem HaDevar Elah is in this week's parsha and next week's parsha. Where Hagar says Hashem called Hashem, the Malach Hashem HaDevar Elah. But the mistake is Shaykh, but that's very different than a chet, an actual Avera. So when it says there is a level of a tzaddik where Avera is not Shaykh. Imperfections there can be because of the fact that we're human beings and there's a human state that can make an error, but that's very different than Avera. But that is getting a little sidetracked because I'm just giving a very short synopsis of where we're heading, and these things are going to be dealt with at length in the coming parakim, exactly the definition of what a tzaddik is and what a benyani is and what a rasha is.
So we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu tested Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Moshe and David and Shlomo. He tested them. So Moshe hit instead of talking, that was his yichat, a sword roll. So there's different, I'm sure you're going to talk about it, I'm just bringing it up. That
right.
Every tzaddik has his, Mishigol Machaberi Yitzigolim, and what's a test to Chaim Kanievsky is not a test to me.
Correct. I would like to leave this conversation for when the Tanya actually addresses this, because again, we're here talking more about the objective of what Tanya is trying to accomplish. And then there's another type of person, and that type of person is called the Beinoni. And the Beinoni means a person who struggles. Now, there is another type of person which is called a Rasha. And the Alter Rebbe's definition of a Rasha is going to be someone who trips up and does an Avera. Any Avera. It's called a Rasha. The Beinoni is the person who on the one hand he struggles, but he's victorious in his struggles. The struggles are going on deep inside him. And he wakes up in the morning and not necessarily does he want to go to Minyan. He'd rather push the snooze button. And he has every taiva in the world. And when I say every, I mean every. But at the same time, when it comes to machshava, dibur, ma'isa, the parts of us which we can control, in that area, the Beinoni doesn't lose the battle. The Beinoni is perfect over there. The Rasha is the same person as the Beinoni. In other words, the Rasha has the same struggles as the Beinoni. The difference only is in the success rate. The Rasha doesn't have the success rate that the Beinoni has. The goal of Tanya is to get us to be a Beinoni. Meaning...
The Beinoni wants to do what he controls himself?
Correct.
So he doesn't do the Pesh, he doesn't do the Avera.
Doesn't do the Avera, but his Yetzirah is betokfoy, is at full strength.
He's fighting all day.
But he's fighting all day.
The Rasha loses, he gives it.
The Rasha loses, but there are different madrigas in Rasha. There could be someone who loses once in a while, there could be someone who loses. But the Beinoni and Rasha, again, they're the same person. And Tanya is addressed to both of those people. Tanya is addressed to the Beinoni, but then also to the Rasha. I'm telling you, you're the Rasha, but you're really, in other words, psychologically, you're the same as the Beinoni. Whereas the tzaddik psychologically is a completely, you know, if a tzaddik would go for a psychological checkup, the psychologist wouldn't know what to make of him. He doesn't share the same desires and taivas which we share. There is no ego over there. Whereas the Beinoni and Rasha share the same psychological makeup, and the Rasha has to be lifted up to the level of Beinoni. So, we could talk about three different types of people. What is the Beinoni's challenge?
If the Beinoni overcomes his taivas, then what's his challenge?
His challenge never stops. He's battling every day, day in, day out.
And he does it anyway. So what is the Tanya going to?
The Tanya tells you how to become a Beinoni. You'll have a difficult time coming to Beinoni without Tanya.
Beinoni doesn't do the Averitian.
Right. The goal of Tanya is to make us into a Beinoni.
So the assumption is that we're starting out, that we're not yet a Beinoni.
Correct. And that you want to be a Beinoni. Now, the thought of being a Beinoni itself is kind of scary. You know, if we understand what a Beinoni is, that Beinoni never does any Averis and it's perfect Mashav de Bermaisa, if I ask you guys sitting around the table and ask you honestly and seriously, how many of you want to be a Beinoni? Some of us will be honest and we'll say maybe not. Some of us maybe will say we want to because that's what we're supposed to say. But a Beinoni is a very high person. It's a person who never stops learning Torah. Because if you stop learning Torah for one moment, that's not...
At the same time, he has typhus.
He has typhus. He's struggling. Totally struggling.
So his actions are the same as the tzaddik. His machshavas are different.
Exactly. In other words, if there was a tzaddik and a beinoni sitting here in the room, if you'd observe them for 30 years, you wouldn't know the difference. You wouldn't know the difference. Even though in actuality, they're heaven and earth. There's no comparison. If you were to rip them open inside and look inside them, it's totally different. Right? But the purpose of Tanya is to tell you, you're a struggling person, I want to help you in your struggles. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. So where do you want to go? You want to become a Beinoni? Here's the book. You don't want to become a Beinoni today, but there's a certain struggle in a certain area in Avedas Hashem you'd like to conquer. It's the same tools. So what Tanya really does is, what's our biggest problem in our life? Our biggest problem in life, not to minimize anything else, but our biggest problem is this struggle that we face. We want to do, but it's hard. We want to serve the Eibishter, we want to do what's right, but it's not easy. And this over here is the recipe of how to deal with our struggles. In its ultimate form, it makes you the Beinoni. But obviously, that's a step-by-step task. We don't have to approach this if we don't want to. If it's intimidating to think of ourselves as Beinonim, that's fine. Any area in Avedas Hashem where a person might struggle, the recipe of how to deal with that area can be found in the Sefer. By Chassidim, Chassidi Chabad, there's a... They say by Chassidim, I don't know if it has a makir by any of the Rabbeim or not, we know that Rabbi Yitzhak of Berdichev, which incidentally, when they brought the first time they brought the Tanya to Rabbi Yitzhak of Berdichev, when he looked it over, so he exclaimed, as a grace of God, such a great God, the Alter Rebbe managed to put into such a small little sefer. That was his reaction to reading Tanya. So, it is known about Rabbi Yitzhak of Berdichev that he was a Oyev Yisrael, Sanigoyron Shal Yisrael, which means that whenever he saw someone doing something wrong, he had his twist, right? He had as the story goes, when he sees a yid oiling the wheels of his carriage while wearing talis and tefillin, which obviously is disrespectful. So he his reaction was, take a look that even when he's oiling his wheels, he's also. And when the story goes, when he sees the Yid smoking on Shabbos, and he asks him, the Yid, you know that at Shabbos, yeah? The Yid answers, yeah. Do you know they're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos? He says, yeah. So the Yid says, take a look. Emes a person, right? He always had a positive spirit because he was such an Ayav Yisrael, incredible Ayav Yisrael that he was.
But why they call it the book Tanya? Why not How to Be a Beinoni?
The official name of the Sefer is Sefer Shel Beinonim. Tanya is the first word, and for some reason that took on a life of itself. There are Kabbalistic reasons why. Tanya is the name of a klippa, which is prevalent today. But the official name, if you look, is Sefer Shel Beinonim. In fact, on the page that you have, on the top, it should say Sefer Shel Beinonim. Kuti Amarim, a collection of sayings, and a Sefer Shel Beinonim. Incidentally, when the Sefer was published in the lifetime of the Alter Rebbe, there was no author. It was anonymous. The book was printed only after the Alter Rebbe passed away was the name of the author added on. So it was an anonymous book, a collection of sayings, which is a Sefer Shel Beinoni. Anyways, back to what we're talking about.
I don't know if I'm allowed to bring it up. It's the name of another book that's focusing only on the time. And he said, again, I'm just throwing it out, you know. He said, the worst position to be is Bayon. He says, Atzadik, is that Tzadik? Al Rosha knows I'm not doing things right. I gotta do tshuva. I'm not a Rosha. Abeinani Retzchain, it's a bit, davening, achabadaf yoimi, of the machshoris and the maisim, is vicious thing. He'll never do tshuva, because I'm doing fine. Like sure. I say today, I'm good.
That's a different definition of Beinoni, and in Perek Aleph, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain that there are two definitions of Beinoni, and that's not the definition the Alter Rebbe is using, but that's another definition which is Beferish, is used in Chazal, the Beinoni describing the person who's in Mitten. So it's not a stira to what the Alter Rebbe is saying. In fact, the Rebbe has a similar vart. When Leo goes to the people by the Baum, Leo starts screaming at them, Ad Masayatam Poishim Ashtay Asifim. So why are you jumping? Because the Yidna, they were confused people. They served the Eibishter a little, and they served the Avodah Zarah a little. So Aliyah Navi says, until when are you going to tansaf beid hachasanas? In other words, until when are you going to have the cake and eat it too? Im Lashem, Lashem, Im Labal, Labal. Either go to Hashem or go to Baal. So the Rebbe asks, what does that mean? What do you mean? Aliyah Navi saying, go to Hashem or go to Baal? Isn't it better to be where they are in the middle rather than going to Baal? So no, the worst thing is when you're on both sides. You know, choose your side, and a yid ultimately, if he's in the bad side, he'll do tshuva. But the a little of this, a little like that, is doesn't work, which is a similar idea. Anyways, back to what we were saying. Reb Zusha of Anapoli was another Talmud of the Magid. These were all colleagues. Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditche, Reb Zusha of Anapoli. These were all Talmidim of the Mezritcha Magid. They all lived in the end of the 1700s. And Reb Zusha of Anapoli, they say about him that his koyach hari'iyah, his eyesight was so edel, was so refined, that he didn't see when another yid did something bad. In other words, unlike Reb Levi Yitzchak Bar Ditche, who saw but found a spin, it didn't register. If he would see a yid smoking on Shabbos, he wouldn't see it. It's not. In other words, Begashmi, his eyes didn't detect that because it was so refined. And by Chassidei Chabad, they say the Alter Rebbe.
How is that a model? We see when Moshe Rabbeinu, by the breaking of the Luchos, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw what was going on, he broke them, he reacted.
Right.
So, and this Reb Zusha is just the opposite.
Right. Let me finish over here. And by Chassidim, they say the Alter Rebbe was different than both of them. The Alter Rebbe, he saw the person doing something wrong, and he wasn't Melamed Zchus. Instead, he was there with him and told him, here, let me help you get out of the mud. Let me pull you out. And that's what Tanya is. Because at the end of the day, it's really beautiful to be Melamed Zchus, and that's definitely not a derech and aveda. And a person who's so holy that, like it says, like Yigur Chara, that the eyes can't even see evil because he's so holy, it's an incredible madriga. But how does that benefit the person who did the thing that's wrong? How did that benefit him? I'm sure it does benefit in a certain way.
And also, to you, I'm just... Over there was major... This is Klai Yisrael. A few years after, this was the biggest thing that happened. We're still paying today. Over there, Yid was smoking on Shabbos. It's not comfortable. So the Heilig Baditchi were Erzlich Gesen. He couldn't be masked, he was in Goyres, or whatever it was. But this Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eidl, he can't make me, you don't see the Eidl. And the Klai Yisrael went down because of the Eidl. Different sizes of Shoya and Eger Hashem.
Yeah.
Now, there are the Beinoni, the struggler, who by now we already know is all of us. Everyone sitting around the table over here, I'm assuming we all struggle in life. Spiritually. And our struggles are not only practical struggles. It's not only about whether or not I will do Torah and Mitzvahs. That's obviously a tremendous struggle, which the Alter Rebbe is going to help us out with. But there are also emotional struggles that we have. It's very difficult on us. The fact that we have to struggle, it wears us down, it grinds us down. A lot of times we look at our personality, at our Yetzer Hara, and we're disgusted by ourselves. So therefore, whereas the tzaddik is living this beautiful existence, for us, it's not only that we have practical difficulties, but there are also psychological issues we have to work on. How can I go around and be besimcha when I'm struggling all day with this low part of me? And that also is going to be discussed in Tanya. Tanya is not only going to give us practical advice on how to do the right thing despite your struggles, but Tanya is also going to help us develop a healthy attitude towards those struggles and a healthy attitude towards ourselves, that we should be able to be upbeat and besimcha despite the struggles and not get dragged down by them as we so often are. Interestingly, the Alter Rebbe also wrote a Sefer Shel Tzadikim. I imagine being a tzaddik might be a little difficult. If all I do is love Hashem and fear Hashem, so what's my Aveda? So the Rebbe also wrote a Sefer for tzaddikim. And the Mesira is that that Sefer was burnt together with the Shpalar Zeda. I'm not sure what that means, but when he died, it was burned, and there's some sort of connection over there. Shpalar Zeda was another colleague of the Alter Rebbe, also a Talmud of the Mezitcher Magid. I guess that's a loss for all the tzaddikim that were after that point in time. But if and when we reach the Madriga of Tzaddik, I'm sure we'll figure out what that Avaita is. The Eibishter will show us the right way. But this is the Sefer that the Alter Rebbe wrote specifically for Beninim and specifically for those of us who struggle. And again, it's going to address every area of life. And the Alter Rebbe writes in the Hakdama, which we're not going to learn at this point, maybe in round number two of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe wrote Hakdama Samalakit, which means that he wrote it, the compiler's introduction. Again, the Alter Rebbe is the compiler of Tanya. And in his Hakdama, the Alter Rebbe writes that over the years, there are many, many chassidim who would come to the Alter Rebbe, and they would come into Yichidus, they would come into a private audience, and they would ask him for advice in various areas in Avodas Hashem. And as the years went on, the crowds multiplied. There were many, many chassidim. And the Alter Rebbe says, I don't have time anymore to answer. To give everyone the time that they need. And indeed, if you look in the historical records, at that time, Chassidus grew so rapidly in the region where, after the Mezitcher Magid passed away, so the Talmidim of his divided the regions. And originally, the Alter Rebbe became a Chassid of Remendel Haradukar, who was the senior Talmud of the Mezitcher Magid, but Remendel Haradukar went to Eretz Yisrael and settled in Tveria. So the Alter Rebbe inherited, so to say, I don't know the exact names of the regions today, but Lithuania and White Russia, which was huge. Most of the tzaddikim, they settled in Poland and in Rysen and Galicia, I guess, in that area. And each one had a much smaller area than the Alter Rebbe. Alter Rebbe had a huge territory for whatever reason. And as Chassidus grew, there were tens of thousands of Chassidim. And practically, it became difficult for the Alter Rebbe to give the advice. In fact, at that time, the Alter Rebbe had to institute very, very strong takanas. They were called takanas liyashna. We were in the very strong restrictions on Chassidim who wanted to come and visit the Alter Rebbe. You weren't allowed to come to visit more than once a year. Unless there was a committee of Chassidim, of elder Chassidim in each city, if you had a real, real urgent emergency, you can apply for a special dispensation and a special permit to come. And even then, what you were allowed to ask and when you were allowed was very, very restricted, simply due to the incredible amount of Chassidim that were there at that time. So the Alter Rebbe writes in the Hakdama, he says, and therefore, for all these years, I've had the Chassidim, I know what your problems are, the Alter Rebbe says. The words are, B'yoidai v'makirai ka'amina, I know you guys. I know my Chassidim, I know what your issues are. I'm talking about your issues in Avodas Hashem. I'm writing here a sefer, and over here you'll find the answer to everything you want to know. It's a pretty, a big promise, right? Yeah. Whatever you need to know. And the Alter Rebbe says, if you can't find the answer in the sefer, go to the mashpiyim in your city, go to the zkenim, and they'll show it to you, because everything is in there. I included everything in there. And this is, b'chassidim we say, the Alter Rebbe is talking, yoidei v'makirai, it's all of us. We're all, the Alter Rebbe knows us all. And any issue in Avodas Hashem which all really comes from being our struggles. It's all to be found over here. And me, ani omani, I've been garnished, but at the same time, I can tell you that I know this from personal experience. There's that any issue that I've ever encountered, the answer is in Tanya. The only thing is that sometimes, you know, you can have, as mentioned earlier, imagine a person goes to the doctor and he has a malady. The doctor prescribes him the medicine, he goes to the store and he fills the medication, and he goes, takes it home. And a few weeks later, he comes to the doctor and says, "Doctor, I'm not feeling well." "Doctor, I can't believe it. This is a medicine. Baldukumunus, that's proven this medicine works. Please tell me, explain to me, how did you take it? When did you take it?" He says, "I went and I took it. I bought it and took it home and I put it in my medicine chest. I look at it every single day. And I believe that it works. I have a munah pshuta, I have a complete animam and munah shleima, the medicine works, and why isn't it working?" We can have the Tanya on the palasa, Tanya on the bookshelf, or not only on the bookshelf, but even the bookshelf in our mind. Are we taking the medicine? In other words, the answers are all here. But then you have to be brave enough and strong enough to take the medicine, to actually do and to follow the Alter Rebbe's prescription. And when a person does, the Alter Rebbe guarantees that the answer to every question that a person might have in Avodas Hashem is all here. So it's an incredible journey. I've learned Tanya many times, I've taught it many times, and I can tell you every single time that I learn it and I teach it, it's new aimic, a new depth. There's so much there, there's so much to be uncovered. You know, the Tanya is considered by Chassidei Chabad the Torah shebiksav of Chassidei Chabad. It's the written Torah. And just like you learn Chumash, when you're 5 years old, you learn Chumash, and you get it, you get the story. And then you learn it again 10 years later, and you realize there's much deeper. And 20 years later, and 30 years later, there's always the deeper depth. The same thing with Tanya. Every time you learn it, you get to a deeper emek. Yeah?
My question is, the Rambam, everybody there, doesn't make difference, Chassid or Chassid. The Tanya, it's for Chabad mostly, and maybe some people, after Chabad, also learn. Why the Tanya did not come like the Rambam, for example? That if everything is there, it'd be easier follow or teach or to learn.
Right. I hear your question. The truth is that in Hasidic circles, especially before World War II, Tanya was, and all, not only in Chabad, in Hasidic circles, Tanya was considered, anyone who wanted to learn Hasidus, Tanya was where you started. As for why it hasn't taken off, I guess there's, I don't know if you're aware, but the Rambam also didn't take off so right away. There's a lot of opposition to the Rambam also. 800 years later, it's very easy to say that it's Mekubal. But at the time, the Rambam was a pretty controversial person, and they were burning the Rambam. You're aware of that, probably. They were burning the Rambam, the Frumma people. So the fact that something doesn't catch on right away, it doesn't necessarily... There's something to ask? Okay. And let's start. Why don't we get started? Perek Aleph, Tanya. Chapter 1. Or actually, okay, well, we'll learn a little. Tanya, we learned in Abraisa Besoyif Peira Gimel, the Nidon, the end of the third chapter of Mesechtas Nidon, the Gemara. So the Gemara there talks about before a child is born, 40 days before Yitziras Avlad, 40 days before the child is even conceived. So at that point, the neshama is already summoned, the neshama is told that it's going down into a body, and the neshama is made to swear. It's administered an oath. That's what the Gemara says. Mashbiya Moisei, the neshama, the soul is administered an oath and is told to heed tzaddik, you're going down into the world, and there's going to be a lot of temptations down there. We want you to swear that you're going to be a tzaddik, va'alti rasha, and don't be a rasha. In heaven. In heaven, va'afilu kol ha'elam kuli emocha tzadakata. Item 2 that they tell this neshama. Even if the entire world tells you tzadikata, even if everyone looks at you and is praising you and is telling you that you're a tzadik, heyei be'necha k'rasha, in your eyes, You should always view yourself as a Rasha. So again, the neshama is, before it comes down, is told two things. Item number one, it's made to swear that it's going to be a tzaddik and it won't be a Rasha. And item number two is that even if the entire world is convinced that you're a tzaddik, in your eyes, you should still always view yourself as a Rasha. Rebbe asks a question. Question number one, the tzarech l'havin, we need to understand this, the hatnan, there's a befeirish mishnah that we learned in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, va'alti rasha b'fnei atzmacha. Exact opposite words. It's not an implication. In Pirkei Avos, we're told, don't view yourself as a rasha. You can't get a more direct contradiction than this. That on the one hand, before the neshama comes down here, it says, even if the entire world is telling you you're a tzaddik, you should view yourself as a rasha. And on the other hand, we have a mishnah where it says, va'al tihi rasha, bifnei atzmacha, do not view yourself as a rasha. That's question number one. V'gam, furthermore, mi yebeinav ki rasha, if a person taka will view himself as a rasha, what's going to happen? In other words, the first question we asked is a technical question. We have a contradiction. So sometimes a contradiction, it's a technical question. Here it says this, and here it says this. How do we resolve it? Al-Tareba says there's also a much deeper issue here. When the neshama is told that if the entire world says you're a tzaddik, view yourself as a rasha, how can you tell someone to view themselves as a rasha? That makes no sense. What's going to be the result of that? Im yiyeh be'einav kirasha, if a person looks at himself and views himself as a rasha, what's going to happen? Yera levavei. He'll be depressed. V'ya otzev, he'll be sad. V'la yuchal lavad Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav. He won't be able to serve the Eibishter b'simcha. What are you telling the neshama? Before it comes down to the world, you're saying, view yourself as a rasha? That's counterproductive. If a person views himself as a rasha, he'll be depressed. And we know Yivduos Hashem b'simcha, we know we have to serve the Eibishter b'simcha. So what are you going to say? Okay, you know what? Okay, I'll be a rasha. I won't be depressed about it. And if you're not going to be depressed, if you're a rasha and not depressed about it, okay, so then it's no big deal to do averis. I'm not depressed about being a rasha. So it's counterproductive to view yourself as a rasha, because either way, if you're depressed, it's bad. Because we know you have to be happy. If you're not depressed, it's also bad. Because how can you view yourself as a rasha and not be depressed about that? Yeah.
Maybe it's not a question. When you're in Shemaya, the Neshama has one mindset, but when you're in this world, it's only when you're in Shemaya, the Neshama is told, be a tzaddik, don't be a rasha. But when you get to this world, maybe you have a different mindset.
The whole point is that this is told to the neshama and it's supposed to impact the way it's down here.
It's one and the same. It's not
right because it's advice for this world. Yes, it's in heaven, but it's the tzedel aderech. It's telling you what's going to be in this
the
world.
We don't remember what we're told as a Baal.
There's a as a neshama. That's a separate question, which Chassidus deals with another. What's the point of this oath?
We don't remember.
It also seemingly doesn't really obligate us too much, right? Many of us. That's a separate question. It's answered that mashbiyin also was malashim masbiyin, which means to satiate, that it's given the koiches to do it, and the oath has an impact. But that's not.
Leave that on the side.
Yes, leave it on the side, because it doesn't directly impact what we're talking about over here. In general, I want you to know, if you go to other Tanya Shirim, they're going to be those Tanya Shirim that are going to sit in every single word, and they're going to make mali diukim, because every word is full of the yukim, and every word is perfect and exact. And why I say this word, not that word? But we're not. That's not my derech halimud and tanya, because we're going to focus on the point and not get sidetracked by the little trees in the forest, as opposed to the forest itself. So the Alter Rebbe says like this: We start off tanya with a maimer chazal that says you should view yourself as a rasha. The Alter Rebbe says this makes no sense for two reasons. Number one, it doesn't make sense because we have a explicit Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says the opposite. Number two, it doesn't make sense logically. If a person is going to view themselves as a Rasha, one of two things is going to be true. Either this person is going to be a depressed person, and that's bad, or he's not going to be a depressed person, and then that's even worse, because if you're a Rasha and you're not depressed about it, that's bad news. Then there's nothing stopping you from doing what's wrong. Sorry? So it's a strange Gemara. The Alter Rebbe is going to proceed to ask a bunch of questions, which we're going to continue Mitzvah next week. And by the way, these questions will be answered throughout Tanya. One question will be answered in Perek Yud Gimel, one question in Perek Chav Zayin. And literally, in other words, we're going to start with a bunch of different questions from Amari Chazal, and as we go along, we're going to answer them. And this is question number one. I've never seen this in any of the Sfarim said anywhere, but I believe that the fact that Alter Rebbe begins with this question is very telling. Let's not talk, you know, you talk about being a Rasha. We all have a part of us that's a Rasha, even if it doesn't actualize itself. We have a part in our, we have the Rasha within. And in a later day, as we continue learning Tanya, we'll find out there's a part of us. Everyone has a part of us that's a tzaddik, and everyone has a part of us that's a benyamin, and everyone has a part of us that's a rasha, but that we'll talk about later. But the rasha within we're all familiar with. How do we handle that? The knowledge that there's this evil within me, how do I handle that? If I acknowledge that, and if I focus on that, should it make me depressed or not?
I'm
talking about selfishness, talking about desires that are not what the Eberster wants. I'm not talking about a desire to be a serial killer. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about evil means that which is Leil Hashem, doesn't belong to the Eberster. Right, bad midas, anger management, whatever it may be. Or simply the fact that we have desires that are not according to Torah. And bad midas. How do I handle that? This is very much part of the struggle of the Beinoni, because this is not about the Tzaddik, the Sefer. The Sefer is about the Beinoni, and within the Beinoni there is always the Rasha. That's why he's a Beinoni, not a Tzaddik, because it's inside. I look at myself, I know what's inside me. Should I be depressed about it? Well, being depressed is not a good thing. If to serve the Eibishter B'Simcha. So I should be fine with the fact that there's the Rasha inside me. If I'm fine with it, isn't that condoning it? Doesn't that make it fine? And this is an integral part of the struggle of the Beinoni. In other words, the struggle of the Beinoni, as mentioned earlier, is not only about the practical, what I should do today and what not, but also how do I handle myself? How do I handle the fact that I am who I am? I'm not happy with who I am. Even if I'm doing the right thing today, I'm not happy with who I am. So this question with which we start Tanya is an essential question which we're going to be struggling with throughout the Sefer. Because the Beinoni never ends the battle. The Beinoni never gets rid of the Rasha inside. He only tames the Rasha inside. So how do I handle my knowledge of this Rasha inside? And this is what we're going to be dealing with as we go along. And to conclude, with a little vart. So the Tzaddik is the perfect person. The Tzaddik is the person who is loves Hashem and fears Hashem and is a burning flame fire of Avodas Hashem. The Beinoni is perfect in action, in Machshava Dibur Maisa. Should the Beinoni, how bad is it to be a Beinoni? In other words, if my inside isn't the way I want it to be and I'm only doing the right thing, am I being Memala the Kavana? Am I doing what the Eibishter wants? The answer obviously is yes, but there's a very deep insight from this week's parsha on this. This week's parsha is Parshas Lech Lecha. And we begin with Vayomer Hashem el Avram. The Eibishter tells Avram, Lech Lecha, I want you to go. Leave. Lech Lecha, Ma'artzecha, Me'latcha, go. El Ha'aretz Asher Erecha, go to the land which I will show you. And I'm going to reward you so much for that. Make you into a great nation. The Ramban immediately asked the question, what's going on over here? Who is this Avram? We weren't even introduced to him. Yes, and last week, in the end of last week's parsha, we're told that Terach had a son whose name was Avram. What's special about him? Why did the Eibishter speak to him? You know, by Noach, before it says that the Eibishter appeared to Noach and told him, it says, V'noach matzachin be'enei Hashem. It tells us that Noach was a special person. So then it makes sense that Hashem tells him, I want you to make a teva because everyone else is going to die. We're not introduced to Avram Avinu before. So the Rambam says, so why is Hashem telling, why should he leave? What's wrong with where he is? Why should he go where he's going? What's so special about him? And the Rambam answers what he answers. You know, the question becomes even more when Avram is 75 years old at this time, and he's accomplished so much. He's already been, you know, was already overcame the Nisoyan of Ur Kasdim. He smashed his father's idols. He has already brought thousands, tens of thousands of people, as the Rambam describes, to monotheism. And nothing, it's all ignored. And the first thing we find out about Avram is Hashem, that Hashem appears to him and says, go. So it's strange. It's one of those things, you know, we all learn Chumash as we're children, so we're used to it, something, and sometimes we don't revisit it to realize that there's something which is out of place. If you were to read it, if the first time someone gave you the Chumash and you're reading the narrative, it doesn't click. It doesn't click. Who's this Avram that the Eibush is telling him to leave? Why?
It's not even Avraham yet.
Right?
It's Avram.
So Chassidus is explained, Avram is the first Yid. What defines the Yid? What makes the Yid different than the Nisht Yid? You know, before Avram Avinu, before Lech Lecha, Avram was operating on his own. And he Taker reached incredible spiritual levels and incredible heights. But at the end of the day, he was accomplishing all that was humanly possible. And a Yid, being a Yid, is not about accomplishing what's humanly possible. Being a Yid is about Ata Bechartanu, that the Eibishter chose us. When did the Ata Bechartanu chose? When did it start? When Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha. And that's the most important thing. Everything else pales in comparison. Everything else was his personal accomplishments, incredible accomplishments. But where does the story of Yiddishkeit begin? The story of Yiddishkeit begins with Ata Bechartanu, and the Eibishter says, Avram, pick up and go. I want you to listen and do what I'm telling you to do. Then you become a Yid. And this is also the difference between the mitzvahs by Yidin and the mitzvahs by Goyim. Because, you know, Yidin have 613 mitzvahs and Goyim have 7 mitzvahs. But it's not only a quantitative difference, that we have more than them. There's a qualitative difference. By Goyim, their mitzvahs are so they should be civilized, and they should be social, and they should be even reach spiritual heights. By a Yid, a mitzvah is a tzav sav chibur is connecting to the Eibishter. That's what our mitzvahs are. Only the Eibishter can do that. A human being can't reach the Eibishter by his own, can't reach Hashem by his own powers. There's an infinite space that separates creator and creation. But the Eibishter gives us mitzvahs and says, when you do this mitzvah, you connect to me. To put it in different words, a goy is constantly reaching upwards. Talking about the ultimate guy, a spiritual guy, a wonderful guy. Chassidei Umas HaOlam, those who will get a wonderful portion in Gan Eden, Olam Haba. They're reaching up, but how far can they reach? As much as humanly as possible. And you know what? Humans are incredible. Humans are Bechir HaNevroim. We're the crown jewel of creations. So the human being can accomplish a lot. But at the end of the day, it stops. There's a ceiling. There's a limit to what a human being can accomplish. There is no limit to what a Yid can accomplish because we're not working with our own koiches, with our own powers. The Eibishter chose us, and the Eibishter gave us tools, the mitzvahs, whereby we connect with him. That's what makes us special. So going back to the Beinoni, at the end of the day, the Beinoni inside, he might be a mess, it might be a psychological mess, and he might stay that way, Taka. But what is it to be a Yid? To be a Yid is to do a mitzvah. Machshava diber maisa. When you do a mitzvah, that's when you connect to the Eibishter. So the Beinoni doesn't have to feel so bad. Yeah, all he's doing, in quotations, is doing the right thing. And inside, doing the right thing, that's where the connection really is. So the Tzaddik might be on a much higher spiritual level than the Beinoni, but in terms of the ability to connect to the Eibishter, every single Yid, from the moment that you know the child starts doing a mitzvah, every single Yid has that ability to connect, because to connect, it takes a simple action. Continue with Hashem next week.
Yeah, so, it wasn't better and easier. easier if Hashem not create Yetzer Hara to conquer, 24 hours to try to conquer it.
See? That's a dilemma, and that's why you have to learn Tanya. The Alter Rebbe is going to address that so head on, you have no idea.
So I have to start
that. This, no. What you're describing is the psychological battle of the Beinoni. What for? And it's not easy. It's not even as if I'm winning. I win the battle today, and tomorrow I start over from scratch. Why? Why is David doing this to me?